The opinions expressed in this podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening. Yo, welcome to the Make the Cut podcast. I'm your host, Jacques Leung, joined by
Zion Damji,
Linus Kang,
and Mark Rende.
And you just made the cut.
Welcome back to the Make the Cut podcast. We hope you're enjoying season three, and we hope you really enjoyed episode one. As for this episode, we got some special things in store for y'all. But before we get into that, I want to offer a shout out our Spotify, Make the Cut. Make sure you go tap into Spotify. And then also, don't forget to follow our Instagram at Make the Cut Graham. Now, for this episode, we're talking about what's going on this summer for Team Canada, the men's and women's teams. They have both qualified for the same Olympics for the first time since 2000.
Which is crazy.
It's insane. We've been waiting for this for a long time, for both the men and women's basketball teams to finally, you know, be able to compete for the gold together. I'm super excited. What about you guys?
Super excited too. Considering that Canada has had not that bad of a talent so far, but for the first time since 2000 is crazy. Mm-hmm. The men's team in the FIBA World Cup, they played amazing.
Yeah, let's talk about how these two teams got here in the first place. We have a big Olympics coming up that we're going to preview for you guys in this episode. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about how these teams got here. So first of all, the men, who are currently ranked 7th in FIBA basketball, they qualified through Paris through a historic 2023 FIBA World Cup run last year, where they defeated the former number one ranked team, Spain, in the final game of the group stage, which was a thriller of a game. That was a comeback. Mm-hmm. Dylan Brooks was huge in that game. And they booked their ticket to the Olympics in that game, and that also sent them to the knockout round of the World Cup, where they ended up winning bronze, which was the best achievement in senior men's national team history. That was one hell of a run.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Dylan Brooks, we kind of owe an apology as a Make the Cut. We flamed him in, I think, season two, episode two.
Yeah. Where
in the Grizzlies episode, we apologize.
Yep. We weren't familiar with your game. Now he's my Canadian hero, so, you know. Yeah.
Defensive player of the tournament, he won that award.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And then his three-point shot that game, too. Like, or not that game, that whole tournament, too. It looked
really
nice.
Oh, yeah, he was
carried
shooting
on,
nice.
Carried on shooting crazy.
Blocking shots. Locking up Luka in the knockout round.
Yeah.
That was like the Elite Eight or something.
Mm. I mean, it's like the dog that Canada kind of needed, no? Like,
yeah, a lot of players were like, to that
we
team,
need a dog.
A lot
they
of players were soft. So, like, well, I wouldn't call soft, but like still.
Yeah,
like,
Patrick Beverley's wearing
they,
all
yeah, they just yeah, weren't yeah. ready for that FIBA competitiveness.
Yeah. And then Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I mean, he could have won. He might win NBA MVP this year, but then at the
he's
World
gonna
Cup.
He's going to win it. Come
at
on.
At the World
now.
Cup last year. First team all tournament. He would have won tournament MVP if Canada actually won, but they gave it to the winner, Dennis Schröder on Germany, who we will touch on later. So that was a beautiful tournament to watch. So fun for Canada basketball. So much pride in this program. Now let's talk about how did the women get here? They are ranked 5th in FIBA right now. They have been showing up to Olympics a lot more consistently than the men.
Mm-hmm.
They recently qualified a couple of weeks ago through the FIBA Olympic qualifying tournament, where their tournament was held in Sopron, Hungary, where they played alongside Hungary, Spain, and Japan.
I mean, it was kind of like a confusing day, wasn't it? Like, it was like a lot of things needed to happen for Canada to qualify.
A lot needed to align for us.
Because they lost two games in that tournament. They won the first, but then they lost to Spain narrowly. They lost to Japan on the last day narrowly. So their qualifying bid depended on Spain beating Hungary on the same day, which did happen.
Thank God.
So luckily they're in, but you feel like it shouldn't have been that close. They did have some good competition there, though. And then standout player for them was Kayla Alexander of Milton, Ontario. She's her brother, Kyle Alexander, is formerly a player for the Miami Heat, who also played for the senior men's national team. Mm-hmm. Kayla Alexander averaged 16 points and 14 boards.
That's crazy.
Big body.
Horse on the boards. And then
Shout out
TMU.
Yeah, shout out our own university, TMU. The head coach of our TMU Bold women's basketball team, Carly Clark is also an assistant coach on the senior women's national team staff.
She's been busy. She's been busy, especially with TMU schedule and the thing going on. I mean, she's a great coach.
Busy woman.
Yeah.
She's a big deal in Canadian basketball for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we touched on this a little bit, but previously men's, the last time they were really there was 2000s, which is crazy because, like,
we weren't even born.
They had a young Steve Nash, and then they had Sherman Hamilton, who's on Sportsnet now.
Oh, my God, Sherman.
Yeah, Sherman was on that.
Who was there? Javon Shepard, maybe?
What matters is it's been like 24 years.
And they came seventh in that one.
Yeah. And now we're back. I mean, the best they had was in 1936.
Almost like a World century, War II era. A century ago. Like, come on.
And silver there.
Which, silver.
Yeah. I think we can go for silver this Olympics. On paper, we have the second best roster.
We're going for gold. Come on.
Over
now.
USA?
Yes.
It's possible.
We'll talk about this later.
We'll talk about this later, though. And then the women's, obviously, a lot more consistent. Like we mentioned, they were in Tokyo. They finished ninth.
Yeah, they couldn't make it out of the group stage.
Ah.
Not the best result, but still, they have been much more consistent than the men's.
It's time to erase the dark past.
Absolutely. At the previous World Cup, they were also fourth. So both men and women coming off a top five finish at the World Cup.
Which is honestly amazing. Like they both have high hopes in the Olympics. Not just qualifying, like both of them qualifying, but they have high hopes.
But now we got we kind of got to examine the international headlines at play because there are a lot of contending countries out here that Canada's going to have to match up against. Mm-hmm. If they want to be the best in the world, to be the best, you got to beat the best, right?
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to start with the women. We're going to go through some of these international headlines with women's basketball and then talk about our own expectations about Canada's national team. So, I mean, women, obviously, you have to talk about Team USA first.
Yeah. They've won basketball, it's got to be USA.
8 consecutive gold medals.
Damn.
I mean, in general, with women's basketball, and when you look at FIBA rankings, they have this point system.
Mm.
Women's basketball is a bit more top-heavy, concentrated towards the USA. Right. Like, when you look at the points on the ranking board, like, USA is, like, a lot... The distribution is a lot more concentrated up high. Meanwhile, on the men's, it's more balanced.
Mm-hmm.
So, women's international is a bit more top-heavy. USA, they're also the reigning World Cup champions, so they just win everything. They're going to have all of their star players. They're going to have Brittany Griner, reigning WNBA champ, MVP. Asia Wilson, reigning WNBA MVP, Brianna Stewart. All three of those big women on the front line. All three of them. So how are you possibly going to stop all three of them
on
the front line?
Ain't nobody stopping them.
There's no
and
way.
That,
nobody
that too, and then like...
Yeah, that's just their front
line. Sabrina Curry.
We talking about the guards.
You know, Sabrina Curry.
Yeah, Sabrina Curry.
Sabrina
Ionescu.
Diana Taurasi.
Yeah, Taurasi's going for her sixth, which could be like making her the single-handed, like the most medals out of anybody.
So they
is she the most decorated basketball Olympian?
She's tied with Sue Bird, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. And then, so Sue Bird's not going to be there this year.
Yeah, so Diana has a pretty good chance. I would say she is probably going to win her sixth.
It's just a lot more top-heavy women's basketball, man. Yeah. I mean, when you think about comparing it to men's, like, think about the best forwards in men's basketball. All three of them come from different countries, like Jokic Antetokounmpo, Embiid. Yep. But then in women's basketball, the three best forwards in the world are all American.
All from the USA.
I mean, who knows, though? Like the men's game, too, they were so dominant towards USA, but
give it 10
it's
years.
Changed.
Honestly, I think right now where Olympic basketball is for women's is like where it was for men, like in the like late 90s, early 2000s. Yeah, it's still there right now. Point. The talent is still all USA. Even though like other countries may be better at the FIBA game, their talent is just so far beneath that they can't really do anything about it. But I feel like eventually one day, within like probably the next two decades, I guess, we'll see some real competition for the USA. Hopefully.
And two competitions that we can talk about would probably be Japan and China,
mm-hmm.
which we can't say about the men's team, but you know, Jacques and I.
Yo, respect my country, bro. Yo,
we're proud of them. I mean, in Hangzhou games, Asian games, which happened not so long ago too, they've put up really good fights.
And Japan won silver at the last Olympics and the home soil of Tokyo. I mean, you don't necessarily see that type of thing coming. You don't always think of Japan as a basketball country. No. But their women are pretty strong right now. They finished top of the group in their qualifying tournament, which is the same one Canada was in. They beat Canada. And at that tournament, they have a 24-year-old rising young guard for their team named Mei Yamamoto, who dropped 21 against Canada in that qualifying game. She averaged 17-4-4 in that tournament.
That's tough.
So Japan will definitely be a good contender to watch here. You got to keep an eye on them.
China too.
Yeah, then we can touch on China, who is currently ranked second in the world.
Yes, sir.
For FIBA, second, coming off World Cup silver 2 years ago, and they won gold at the Hangzhou Games. One of their best players is guard Li Meng, who last season in the WNBA was first team all-rookie
for the Washington
Wizards. She is on the older side, though.
But she was undrafted?
Yes, because she basically spent most of her career just playing for a Chinese team, and then she recently joined the WNBA. Mm-hmm. A little off the court issue to address with her is that she will be actually returning to the national team after a 1 year long suspension, after it was alleged that she had an affair with one of the Team China's coaches. So that's something to keep an eye on. Another player, good player they have is Han Shi of the New York Liberty. Who is?
She's a monster. She's tall, man. She's really tall.
Second tallest, 6'10". I mean, not even NBA players are that tall nowadays. Yeah. So
6'10". She's still young and full of upside. She's missed a couple of WNBA seasons due to the pandemic and things like that. But she's still on the younger side, and people still believe in her potential in the W.
How do you guys think Canada will compete against these type of competition?
I mean, Canada, they should be a favorite, but
yeah, they should definitely. I think they're
one of the
top three.
You're not dethroning the US.
Yeah,
the US will be tough.
They're not good. No. They're not being.
I mean, let's
USA.
Be real. I think is our gold medal prediction the USA.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Is there any like real upset potential here? I feel like the upset potential is so low.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, I think USA, but I mean.
Fifth ranked in the world is Canada, and Japan, France, are Australia. looking better than before, but still the U.S. got
they got
better
they
themselves.
Got all the size. Like I feel like all the best players for the other teams are all guards, and they don't have any like real big bodies to like handle.
Like
that.
Canada's roster for itself, I mean, probably gonna have Kayla Alexander back, but they still do not have the kind of center depth and center bulk to deal with
which is
USA's
the,
big
which is the
women.
Same as our men's.
Speaking of the USA, the men's team is looking better than ever. They added on to that disappointing finish in FIBA where they placed fourth, lost to Team Canada for the bronze medal. But Embiid, who surprised a lot of people, instead of playing with his home countries of France or Cameroon, decided to join Team USA along with three veterans, something we don't and haven't really had in previous championships and previous tournaments. We're getting Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, and LeBron James, man. This team has re-upped, and they're coming for that gold medal.
Yeah, it's clear that the players got they got insulted by the fact that they finished fourth at the World Cup. So, I mean, I guess that is the type of... If you're American, that's the type of thing you want to see from your
players
program.
Players that take pride in their country.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to Embiid, though, is he even going to be healthy for the Olympics?
Yeah, that's a big question, is his availability for the Olympics. Because, you know, he might want to take that summer off to rehabilitate and make sure his injury, like, fully healed and he's ready for the next season. Those are four players that have already committed. There's actually three more, as per The Athletic. Devin Booker, Jason Tatum, and Jrue Holiday. Jrue is a polar bear in Arlington, Texas, but we don't talk about that.
Jrue did amazing last time. He did.
Jrue
did amazing.
I don't know, compared to other names on there. But yeah, that's the seven players that have committed. But when you look at the player pool, it is deep, man. It is so deep. You got Paul George, Anthony Davis, Bam, Kawhi, Scotty, Tyrese Halliburton, Kyrie Irving, Trey Young, like they got so many, they got so much talent. And it's like, if they can assemble a team that has that talent but that can also work together, they might just be unstoppable.
Yeah, chemistry is going to be an important thing, though, because we all know USA is extremely talented, but they don't necessarily have the sense of urgency when it comes to international competition, which is why they finish without a medal at the last World Cup. Also, we can talk about kind of like the ethics of Embiid joining Team USA, which is kind of, I mean, obviously he did get a USA citizenship recently, but you kind of hate to see it for the sake of Cameroon, his own home country.
Rip. Or even France.
They need someone to rep them because not even Pascal is repping them.
Yeah.
So they need someone, a big name like him to rep them.
So it's kind of sad for Cameroon. Victor Wembanyama even said that himself, that he feels bad for Cameroon.
Speaking of Victor, though.
Yes, speaking of Victor.
He is going to play in the Olympics.
Yes.
In front of his home crowd in Paris.
Yeah, France and the home soil in Paris. They are always a very strong team, but they are really good. Some of the longtime cornerstones of that program are aging, like Evan Fournier and Nicholas Batum. They do have a big influx of young talent, though.
They're used to international rules. I believe Wemby won the U19 the previous World Cup.
Or at least put up a good fight. It was like a two-point game against Chet's.
Chet did win that by two, right?
But they got a medal.
Wemby put up a very good fight. Silver.
That team defensively... Gobert and Wemby in the paint.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. Be
nice. They're going to have a really tough defense.
3-second rule, right? If I'm not wrong.
No 3 seconds.
Imagine if one of them just sits in the paint.
Yeah.
But they are at an interesting time in their program because, like I said, they do have some aging guys. And at the World Cup last year, they didn't even make it out of the group stage.
Yeah, that was shocking, honestly.
Yeah, Canada beat them by 30. On the first day of the tournament, Canada beat them by 30 in Jakarta.
They made a statement there.
And from that FIBA World Cup, Germany obviously coming in first.
Winners.
Mm-hmm.
But they kind of look the same compared to every other team.
They're going to be solid again, but they're not going to have any sudden star player who shows up. Unlike Serbia, potentially, who won silver at the World Cup, who beat Canada in the knockout round, they might have Nikola Jokic.
Lord.
If they add Nikola Jokic, that team is dangerous. They're going to have a really high-powered, potent offense. The biggest question is whether or not their defense can really stack up to the other teams.
Yeah, and their mobility and their athleticism.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have seen European teams kind of get outclassed athleticism-wise in terms of stamina and stuff, but... It seemed like Serbia was all right with that, but if they have Jokic, that'll be scary.
Serbia has a lot of players that can run and keep up with some of the other countries. But
honestly, I feel like with these countries, they're pretty great. But I think Canada might have the best chance to beat them.
Yeah, I think Canada has the biggest chance to upset Team USA. Yeah,
quote unquote
upset. Yeah.
I mean, they did good last World Cup. They might get Jamal Murray.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Andrew Wiggins.
I mean, when you look at their possible roster.
Yeah, they could fill it all with NBA players.
Yeah,
Mathurin and Sharp as well.
Not that the quantity of NBA players is the most important thing.
Yeah. Of course.
They're trying to win gold. They're going to take the best talent available, of which they have a ton available. They really need to fill out that front court, though. Depending on who shows up for Team USA, they could end up having the best starting back court in Jamal Murray and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Their forward depth is still good, but they need a bit more size. I mean,
Chris Boucher.
In the World Cup, they just had Dwight Powell and Kelly Olynyk.
Yeah.
Which got the job done, but they need
what bigs do we have left? Brandon Clark, assuming he comes back from that Achilles.
He's always injured.
Tristan Thompson, but...
I doubt it.
He's probably past it.
Boucher. That's about it.
And then Zach Edey could show up.
Zach Edey.
Big Zach Edey.
He'll finally get drafted. He's finally going to get drafted to the end.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Yes.
But yeah, and then you obviously got more talented guards and wings like Mathurin, Kojo, Nembhard.
This is like a wave. I think this team and the women's team, they're riding this Canadian wave. There is so much hype behind. After that bronze medal, there's a ton of hype behind this team.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell that the players are super, super locked in, too. Yeah. All their eyes are on gold. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Really since Serbia was the team that beat Canada in the knockout round last year, Shai vowed to have the game of his life next time he faces Serbia.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of mindset you want to see from your star players. And Jordi Fernandez is an amazing coach himself.
Mm-hmm.
Taking pride in their country is always great.
But it is time to finally get a proper Olympic result
yeah,
and like properly put the world on notice.
I prepared some list of iconic Olympic moments, and I want to see you guys blind rank them.
Okay.
How many moments do we have?
We have six. We have three from each. We have three from the women's and three from the men's. Mm-hmm. The first one will be a dunk, and it's Liz Cambage becoming the first woman to dunk in the Olympic competition versus Russia.
Incredible.
I mean,
it is a cool moment. I just don't know how impactful of a moment that really was. Because it was cool. It was cool. Being the first player to dunk, that is impressive, but it's just like in the long run.
Like
yeah,
fifth.
I feel like there's going to be way, way bigger moments. So if it's out of six, right?
Yeah, out of six.
We can put that at five.
Okay, five. I'm going to go for the men's now. And it's the infamous game, USSR beating USA in that Munich game, 1972. So for those who don't know, during the Cold War, U.S. was up 50-49 thanks to Doug Collins' free throws.
This was
Soviets inbound the ball, and the ref stopped the game with 1 second left. But the Soviets complained, saying that they tried to call a timeout during his second free throw. They played with 3 seconds. They missed a shot, and the ref gave 3 seconds again because they apparently started prematurely, and they score on the third play.
That's crazy.
USA still have not received or refused to receive their silver medals.
Yeah.
This is definitely one of the bigger moments, I think.
And I don't think
Olympic basketball history. I'd go top three.
I feel like it should be two.
Okay, but I'm fine with two.
I think we put out two.
Okay. And I'm going to go back to the women's again. The 1996 women's dream team, they were undefeated, margin average of 45.2 points, 52-0 against NCAA and international opponents. WNBA commissioner said herself, "We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them and the foundation they set for us." So this is when the WNBA was founded, and they had this huge boom of this dream team. Players on the roster, Lisa Leslie, Cheryl Swoops, Rebecca Lobo, Jennifer Azzi, and Dawn Staley.
That team is disgusting.
One,
though?
I don't know if that's a one, but that's pretty...
No, that's not pretty, one.
I mean, all of these Olympic moments have, like, more significance outside of just being a basketball moment.
This team definitely pushed women's basketball to a whole nother level. This team was big. Mm-hmm. This team was big. I know that for sure. I don't think it's bigger than the USSR thing.
So then we can do like three.
Because that was like a big robbery.
USSR was two.
But this one is really big for women's basketball.
Three or four.
So do we put that at three or four?
Just put it at three.
Three? Yeah, I'm cool with putting at three. Yeah.
Okay.
What's next?
And then I'm going to go with the women's again. And it'll be Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi becoming the most decorated gold medalists with fifth.
It is Team USA. I mean, they're dominant in everything, in men's and women's, but
I think competing
they're a bit
in five
more
Olympics.
Dominant in women's than
I put
men's,
that
so
at four.
It's not super surprising.
Yeah.
Like, even though, I mean, just to be able to go to five Olympics on, like,
crazy.
The best team,
that's crazy.
That's insane, though. Very significant, but I mean, it's just not surprising at all.
Yeah, so, but I don't, it's
that's
definitely
better than
Liz. It's better than Liz, so it's got to be four.
Four?
It's got to be four.
Four.
So you guys have one and six left.
Oh, no.
And, this one, we have two men's left. This one is an underrated moment of the Olympics that I love. It's Kobe running through his teammate Pau Gasol screen.
Okay, well.
Six.
Do we have a Charles Barkley, like, elbowing that one player? Like, 92?
No, definitely has a troll
the
one.
The last one is kind of related to elbows.
What is it?
The player is related to elbows. It's Draymond Green helping Dame shake the champagne after they won the gold.
Oh,
goal.
My
gosh,
Lord. Bro. That's easy.
No,
number one.
Bro.
I forgot Dame was on it.
So we have
Dame
that at one.
So Dame shake, or Draymond Green helping Dame shake the champagne bottle.
Number one.
Finish number
one. Wait, tell us the list.
And then the U.S. USSR beating USA in that controversial game is two.
That should
the 96
one.
Dream Team is three.
That should be two.
Fifth gold medal is four. The dunk, five. And six, Kobe Bryant's scream. Are you guys happy about the list?
Yeah,
I feel like if you flip like one or two things around.
Honestly, one of
it would be perfect.
It would be
perfect.
If
we just take away from that
Dame
thing,
yeah.
I feel like it would have been
If you
nice.
Just move the Dame thing to like the bottom and then move everything up.
I just felt like adding something like something troll.
I don't really care about the rankings. It's just cool to go back in Olympic basketball history though. A lot of riches.
Yeah, it's cool.
Thank you, Mr. King.
Yeah, honestly, I
thank
had a lot
you,
of fun
Linus.
This game. Thank you.
And thank you guys for listening to this episode of Make the Cut. As always, remember to follow us on social media at Make the Cut Gram. Make sure to follow us on Spotify.
Spotify is
Make
in the
cut. It's in the
bio.
It's in the bio. And we're going to be posting updates on our Instagram. Episodes will be dropping on Spotify as well. So stay tuned, everybody. And we will see you in a couple weeks.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye.